Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you were here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of coffee and some good conversation. Well, today is, what is today? Is it Tuesday? Yes, it is. It is Tuesday the 6th. Excuse me, the 6th of February, and yes, I've still got my sticky cough, and the coffee helps. I may have to, because I'm pretty well got this 2/3 of the way gone, I may have to make another cup while we talk, just to keep that throat working right. Well, Tuesday the 6th, I think I need to give a shout out to a grandson, Seth, who sometimes listens to the podcast, and wish him a happy birthday. It was kind of funny. A few years ago, when I was much more consistent in doing the podcast, when I saw him, he said, "Grandpa, you're famous." It's like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "I just heard you on, crud, what is the, now I'm blanking out. What is the listening program? Is it not Audacity? That's something different. Now I can't think of it. This is going to drive me crazy. But it was one of the big listening platforms. And he, Spotify, that's it, Spotify. And he said, "I heard you on Spotify." And I was telling my friends all about it. It was like, wow, you know, he was still young enough. He thought I was cool. I don't know if he thinks I'm cool anymore. But, you know, that was fun that he got excited. So anyway, happy birthday to him. Had another grandson with a birthday on Groundhog's Day. So, belated birthday. I wished him happy birthday then, but on the podcast to Zach. So, they're both teenagers and, don't see them around as much as what we used to, but you know what? That's the life of a teenager. But anyway, today I wanted to get in and talk about, I'd come across, a meme. And it really got me thinking. And so I will post this along with the podcast. But the picture is a metal, what I would call a basin. It's not really a pot. It's a basin. And it's sitting on a fire, on a like a cook fire inside an old home. Old home. And it's boiling, and it's boiling pretty rapidly. Water droplets are bouncing up. There's fire underneath. And it caught my eye. But then the phrase really caught me. You cannot see your reflection in boiling water. And yes, that's stating the obvious, but I never think about looking for my reflection in boiling water. I was watching with my wife a couple of weeks ago the first of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Fellowship of the Ring. And in the latter part of the movie, they encounter, I think it's the latter part, anyway, they encounter an elf queen who's out in the forest, and there is a basin of water there that, you know, they use to look into the future, what have you, and looking into a still water for reflection. And, you know, you go back before there were mirrors, and still water was a way to see yourself. So the idea of, can you see your reflection in boiling water? No, the surface of the water is disturbed. And frankly, if you hold your face over a pot of boiling water, you know, that used to be a remedy for clearing out your head. But it gets your face very hot and moist. So let me read this and continue a little bit further. You cannot see your reflection in boiling water. Similarly, you cannot see the truth in a state of anger. Yeah, boiling water is a little bit like anger. It's hot. And it's distracting. Anger is a distracting emotion. Some people say, well, I get focused, I get intense, I get energy when I have anger. Well, yeah, that focus is sometimes like living in a silo or having blinders on. You really can't see the whole picture. You're just seeing what's creating the intense emotion or what's triggering the intense emotion. Similarly, you cannot see the truth in a state of anger. Third, when the water is calm, clarity comes. Boom. That's a powerful little statement there. When the water's calm, when the water's calm, clarity comes. When the emotion's calm, clarity comes. So I was looking at that this morning. I'm up too early. I got up at 4, or woke up at 4 o'clock, checked my an app on my phone to see how my wood-burning furnace is, and it was giving me signals like, you better get your butt out here and feed this. I think we're about out of wood. So I go out there. There was still a good bit of wood, but I just stocked it up while I was there and decided to make myself some coffee, clear my throat, and then ponder this little meme. You cannot see your reflection in boiling water. Similarly, you cannot see the truth in a state of anger. When water's calm, clarity comes. So I start pondering that and thinking, okay, what are some words that relate to clarity in this context? Well, clarity of water gives you also, in many cases, transparency. You know, if you've been in a, if you've been in a calm lake, no, around here all lakes are muddy, but if you ever have the opportunity to go like to the Caribbean, and you're in a bay or a protected area, Grand Cayman is an island that I've been to a couple of times, and it has a coral reef that almost encompasses the island. So the waves of the sea break way offshore, and it's like a lagoon, and it's crystal clear water. And when everything is calm, and the wind is calm, and the sea is calm, you just look through, and you can see many, many feet down. The clarity is amazing. You can see what you can't see when the water's choppy. You get transparency. When I think about clarity and transparency, I also think of truth. Because truth is often distracted. Truth is often covered up, intentionally or unintentionally. But when we have clarity, clarity of mind, clarity of vision, transparency so we can see deep into something, we often find the truth about a circumstance. And we also have honesty. You know, there's a phrase that's I've heard used for many, many years, typically in a political context. And it's called muddying the waters. Have you ever heard that phrase? I think I first learned that phrase back in the early 90s. And what it implies is, in a political context, if you are trying to deceive, politically deceive, and it's not working because people are seeing through what you're trying to cover up, they're able to look down into the waters because it's calm. There's clarity. There's transparency. Well, what you need to do is muddy the waters. Then people can't see it. So it may be where you throw a lot of accusations against a political opponent or against an organization or something like that. And it's like, well, you think I'm doing this. Well, what about these people? They're doing this and this and this and this. And you're muddying the waters. It's a form of distraction. You're distracting through a lack of clarity, a lack of transparency. So let's come back to the topic here. And let me ask this question. Do you want to see truth? Well, that may sound like a stupid question. Of course I want to see truth, but do you really? Stop and think. Calm yourself down and think about, what does truth sometimes mean? Well, if what you believe is actually true, then truth gives confirmation to you. It confirms that, hey, I'm on target. I'm believing what I need to believe. However, if we have intentionally or unintentionally bought into a lie, or we have a wrong perception, well, what does truth do then? Sometimes it pisses us off, and especially the person who is pointing out the truth. You hear this phrase over the past dozen or so years that I never heard growing up, but I hear all the time, and you probably do too. And if you're my age or older, you know that this is not the way it was. The phrase is, well, this is my truth, or that's your truth. No? No? Truth is a little bit above that. Neither you nor I have a firm grip on truth. We don't own truth. We have opinions. Everybody's entitled to an opinion, they say. But opinion does not make it truth. How you see something does not make it truth. Truth and accuracy makes something true. Not opinion. Not emotions. Truth is truth, and it's above every person. There's been many situations in every culture where someone was accused and everybody was in agreement with the judgment against them in court, whether it's a legal court or the court of public opinion. And then later you find out it's not true. There was a popular song. I forget who originally sang it, but I know Reba sang it. But it was the night the lights went out in Georgia. You remember that song? I'm not going to sing it for you today. But the night the lights went out in Georgia is about this fella and his girl. And he finds out from a friend that she's been sleeping around and she's with this this one particular fella. And this that his friend tells him that that his girl's been cheating. And he says, you know, but don't be mad at him because I've been with her too. So she's been been not faithful, has not been faithful. And he gets upset and angry. He goes to confront and he brings a gun with him. But when he gets there, he sees the a sight of a murder that the guy that's been cheating with his wife or girlfriend, whichever it was, is dead. And he sees a patrol car and he fires off a gunshot to flag him down, but it's misinterpreted by the police officer who thinks that was the shot that killed the guy. So they have a trial. Song says a make-believe trial. Judge already has made up his mind. He says, you know, let's just get down to it. Supper's is waiting for me at home. And they find him guilty, capital offense. And the guy's hung. But they hung the wrong person because he was innocent. Regardless of how everybody felt about it. And at the end of the song, you find out that the gal singing the song was the little sister of the guy who was convicted and hung. And she doesn't miss when she shoots her gun. And the girl's body was never going to be found. There's a lot of stories like that. DNA evidence has taken many people off of death row because they were actually innocent. There was, and I've known people, there was a person that I knew many years ago. Police raided his home with guns drawn. And the reason was this guy was new to the area. And there was a very dangerous felon by the exact same name and the same birth date up in the Chicago area. And there was a misidentification. Because how often does that happen, though? You know, the person has the same name and the same birth date as a wanted criminal. And the circumstances that took place when they raided the home, he could have easily been shot. And it wasn't the right person. But sometimes we want to see what we want to see, and dang it, the truth gets in the way. But we should want to know the truth. Because the truth gives us accuracy. It gives us the opportunity for actual understanding. Truth can lead to forgiveness if something has been done wrong. And it can lead to restoration, especially if it's been, you know, through misunderstanding. But what gets in the way of truth? Well, there's several different things. These are the ones that kind of came to my mind. And I've been talking about this first one, expectations. What do you expect? Are you like the judge in the song, had his mind made up before the trial started? See, we can have expectations that keeps us from being able to see the truth. Sometimes it's prejudice, sometimes it's bigotry, sometimes it's misunderstanding, sometimes it's listening to the wrong people. Sometimes there's people that have every intention of misleading you, and if they get you to believe and buy onto something, then your expectation about a situation or a person or a circumstance, it changes. You know, another thing that gets in the way of truth is emotions. As a mental health therapist and helping people, in many cases, trying to find truth, and I would say that's probably a topic in every counseling situation, I find emotions get in the way, and what the way that they typically get in the way is the idea that if I feel a strong emotion about what I believe, it must be true. The stronger the emotion, the truer it has to be. So if I'm feeling anger, the stronger the anger, the more convicted I am that it is truth. If I am feeling overwhelmed and it's a very strong overwhelmed feeling, then I may grab onto the belief that I can't do anything about this and have despair and sense of overwhelm. See what I mean? Our emotions can get in the way of being able to see truth. I saw that so many times in marriage counseling, where strong emotions, not what the actual truth was, but strong emotions that led people away from truth, was the genesis of many problems. Especially if that turns into expectations. You know, another thing, that couple of things that gets in the way of truth is lack and abundance. Here's what I mean. When it comes to information, if you don't have enough information, or if you're not allowed to talk about certain things, whether it's personally or privately or publicly, if there's a lack of information, are you getting enough to see the full, truthful picture? No, lack can lead to wrong decisions based on things that are not actually true. Now, the opposite, you would think, okay, abundance, that would be a good thing. No, not necessarily. If there is too much information, you get lost in it. It becomes a distraction. Information can become a distraction. Now, it used to not be that way like it is today. If you wanted to learn something, you watched like a scheduled television program about it that only came on at a certain time because that's how things worked. There was no such thing as streaming. There was no such thing as YouTube. Or you read about it. But we didn't have, you know, a library at your fingertips like we do now. You actually either had to have the book, or you had to go to a library or borrow the book from somebody who had it to learn on something. You didn't have the abundance that we have now. And one of the things also was, what I see is, when there's an abundance, that means it's easy to produce. and it isn't always accurate. You know, book publishers, they used to have strong guidelines and they did not want to be caught publishing things that were not true. That doesn't apply anymore, does it? Anybody can publish anything. For example, this podcast. I'm sitting in my family room and I'm recording it. And in a matter of minutes, it's going to be out there for anybody who wants to listen to it. There's no editor. There's no editorial board. That's a good thing, but it can be a bad thing if someone is spreading lies. So, how do you get the clarity? How do you see a reflection when the water's boiling? Well, I think it's relatively simple, but it can be hard to do. You need to slow down and pursue being calm. Oh, wait, you don't know my life. I've got too crazy of life. No? Same thing applies. You got to slow down and you got to pursue being calm. That's the answer. That's a big part of the answer. Because if you're always rushing and you're pursuing this, that, and the other thing, you're not slowing down and you're not pursuing calm. There is a verse out of the Bible, Psalm 46:10. Let me pull that up here briefly. Psalm 46:10. You know this. Everybody knows this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. What does it do when you calm yourself down? You're actually able to listen. You're able to think more clearly. You're not being rushed and pushed. You know, if you're being still and you know and you're practicing the knowledge that God is there, well, what are you doing? You're being quiet. That means you can be listening. Sometimes you gotta still your thoughts too, but you're listening. Because God speaks in a still small voice. You know, there's only one spot in the Bible where the still small voice of God is mentioned. And it's kind of an interesting one. I won't go into reading it, but it's 1 Kings 19:12. And it's the story of Elijah. He's already with God, defeated the prophets of Baal. And the evil queen is after him for killing her prophets, her satanic prophets. And so he runs and he hides. God sends an angel to feed him, to give him strength. And then God says, I'm going to be here in your presence. Step outside of this cave. And there was this huge wind, but God wasn't in it. And there was a great earthquake that shook the whole mountain, but God wasn't in it. Then came a still small voice, and that was God. See, if you're not quiet and you're not listening, you will often miss God. Now, can God reach you with a shout? Yes, he can. He most certainly can. There's a problem with it, though. That's usually because you're very distracted. You're not paying attention. He's giving you different warnings that you have not seen, and he's got to get your attention some way. You know, Hank Williams Jr., he would refer to that as, you need an attitude adjustment. I think in his song, he talks about, you know, some woman who had to take a 2x4 to her man, or the man had to take a 2x4 to the wife. I don't remember how it went, but it was, need an attitude adjustment. God will shout. He will get your attention if he has to. You can get your kids' attention by yelling at them. But isn't it a whole lot better if you can speak in a still small voice and your kids are listening and they do what you ask them to do? We're God's kids. That's what he wants. Don't push God to have to get your attention. Plain and simple, this is what's happening to our country and what's happening to our world. We've fallen away from God. And he's having to get our attention. He's having to get our attention. And in my opinion, I believe this is going to be a very serious year, where either we wake up or we don't. And if we wake up, hear God's calling to us, and start pursuing him, listening to him, acting according to his will, things can go in a good direction. If we don't, then it's not going to be. You know, biologically, there's a thing that kicks in. And if you've heard me talk about anxiety on the podcast, you're going to hear some terms that's similar, you know, but there's two parts of the autonomic nervous system that play a very important role with this. It's the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Sympathetic is your fight or flight. Get you out of dangerous, life-threatening situations. The parasympathetic is your calming, rest and digest system. The sympathetic, if it's activated, you start looking for a crisis because you're being jacked up on adrenaline to either fight or flee. And so you're looking for the crisis. And either an actual crisis triggered it, or there was a trigger and it's not really a crisis, but you feel like there has to be one, so you're looking for it. That's boiling water, people. Sympathetic nervous system is boiling water. The opposite system is the parasympathetic. It's the flip side of the coin. Only one side of the coin can face up, right? So it's the parasympathetic. It's the calming. It's the resting. It's the digesting. It's the way we're supposed to live 99.99% of the time. And when you're feeling that, you're looking for peace. Now, if you live in the parasympathetic state, you're living in peace. If you're living in the sympathetic, the fight or flight, you're not just looking for crisis, you're living in crisis. So, where are you at? You living in crisis? You anxious? Are you able to see truth when that's taking place? I've had a lot of deep conversations with veterans whose sympathetic nervous system got not just jacked up, but stuck in the on position because of being in combat, being in life-threatening situations day after day after day after day. Not just feeling like it's life-threatening, but actually life-threatening. And so whenever the system goes off, they believe they're in danger.
and it's hard for them to see the truth. Until they get into that parasympathetic state and are calm, and the water's calm, and they can see a reflection accurately. Pursue calm. Pursue calm. And for no other reason, and there's a lot of good reasons to pursue it, it's easier to see truth. All right. That is it for today. Hope this has been a good one, and we will catch you next time for another cup of coffee and some good conversation. Take care. Bye.